you would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Beginning in verse 46 and reading through verse 50. I'm reading from the Holman Christian translation. Not because I want to get a particular nuance out of the translation, but because in the midst of fleeing from the fire and the stuff that's happened since, I have left my Bible I usually teach from, the old 1984 NIV, somewhere else. And so I trust it'll turn up, but that's why I'm in the Holman Christian Standard Bible this morning. You'll be able to understand it, okay? Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 46, this is God's word. He was still speaking to the crowds when suddenly his mother and brothers were standing outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." But he replied to the one who told him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, that person is my brother and sister and mother." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus was an itinerant preacher. He spent time going from place to place to place to place, preaching and teaching and healing the sick and casting out demons and telling people the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is upon you. Repent, because the kingdom of God is here. And crowds, huge crowds, developed. So much so that sometimes Jesus just continued to minister and didn't take time for himself to do things like eating. Now, when Jesus' mother and brothers showed up, Jesus doesn't take a break from his teaching in order to go outside and speak to them. There are people crowded around him. And his family has journeyed in order to come and be with Jesus. But they're not coming to hear what he has to say. They're coming to take him away from what he was supposed to be doing. And Jesus doesn't say, "Oh, sorry, family time. I got to go. I haven't seen my mom and brothers in a while. I've got to go outside and be with them." Jesus doesn't do that. He does something that to us seems just, well, not just odd, it seems rude. Instead of going outside to see his mother and brothers, I mean, this is his mother, for goodness sake. Instead of going outside, Jesus says, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Was he confused? No, they were confused. Jesus points to those who were close to him, listening to him, doing what they were supposed to be doing, and he says, "These are my brothers. This is my mother. Those who do the will of my Father. That's my real family." And we're going to take a few minutes this morning and try and get our minds around that, because I can assure you, if we really believe this, it will make a radical difference in how we all live our lives. Who was it that said, "Honor your father and mother"? This is the first command with a promise. Who said, "Honor your father and mother"? Who gave that command? God did. So is Jesus saying you're not supposed to honor your father and mother? No, he's not saying that. But he does show us by his own life what it means to do it. To honor your father and mother means to live in such a way that you bring them honor. What if your mom is a thief? That's how she gets her money. And she wants to train her child in how to commit fraud and steal from people. There was a family that lived near us when I was growing up in North Carolina. And they literally were a family of con artists. And they made their living by going around defrauding people. They would, for example, come to your home and say, my child needs to use the restroom. I'm so sorry, but could he please come in and use the restroom? This is an actual case. Sure. So the little boy goes in, and while he's in the restroom, he unlocks the window and leaves it cracked a little bit so that later that night, they're able to come back and go in through the window that was left unlocked and steal from that home. Now, here's a little kid being used to further a criminal enterprise. What should that little kid do? Well, do whatever mom says. This is how we make our money. This is how we get along in life. We had a boy here at the ranch years ago whose mom pulled him out of the ranch because she wanted him to deliver drugs in her drug dealing business. And her rationale was, if he gets arrested, he'll go to juvie, and when he becomes an adult, his record can be erased. But if I get arrested, I go to prison, and that would not be good. So she literally pulled her child out of here and took him back to the city where she lived and began using him as a drug runner, making deliveries of drugs. Well, what do you do if your mom wants you to do that? I mean, don't you just have to do what you're told? After all, you're a kid. What about a child whose parent wants to pimp them out and make money by using that child for prostitution? What should the child do? Honor your father and mother. Doesn't that mean I do what I'm told? Okay, I'm going to tell you something I've told you before. I've told you you ought to write this down. Please learn this and apply it in your life. No one has authority to require what God forbids or to forbid what God commands. No one has authority to require what God forbids. So if your parent tells you to lie, if that's so-and-so, tell them I'm not here. Tell them I'm sick. Tell them that I was not here, or that I was here. Suppose mom went out and committed a crime and now she's got to have an alibi. And she wants you to lie. Say that she was there with you. She couldn't be the one who did that because she was here with me. Is it okay to lie in order to protect mom? Golly, that's a conflict. You love your mom. So what should I do? No one has authority to require what God forbids or to forbid what God commands. Is that clear? Am I supposed to obey them if they try and get me to do something wrong? No, you are not. Jesus is the one who shows us what he would have us to do. Now, why did Jesus' mother come to see him? Was it because she heard that he was doing these wonderful miracles and giving this wonderful teaching and it was just so good and that's why they were outside, is they just wanted to see Jesus? Mama just wants to see her boy and hug him. No, that's not what was going on. Don't lose your place in Matthew, but take a look in Mark chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Mark 3, 20 and 21. Then he went home, it says, and the crowd gathered again so that they were not even able to eat. When his family heard this, they set out to restrain him because they said he's out of his mind. That's the backdrop. That's what's going on. Jesus' mom has decided that Jesus is taking this ministry thing too far. He's going to make a mess of his life. When a mother hears that her child is not eating, that does something to a mother's heart. Okay? You got to eat. Honey, you got to eat. You look at you. You're just skin and bones. Never heard those words, but I not addressed to me. But I've heard moms say that to their kids. I've had my wife say that about some of our kids. Not about others, but about some of our kids. Don't you think he's losing too much weight? This mother, Mary, was a precious lady and a virtuous woman. But she made a huge mistake. She thought she knew better than Jesus. And even though he was an adult, over 30 years old, involved in ministry, she felt like, if he's not eating, something's wrong, I've got to go fix that. She went so far as to suppose that he was out of his mind. God's word says so. I'm not making this stuff up. Okay? She supposed that he was out of his mind. So we got to go get him. We got to take him into custody. Brothers, come along. Now, there are people whose religion teaches them that Mary didn't have any children beside Jesus. She never had relations with a man. And the reason that they teach that is because in their perverted minds, the people who started that false teaching, that totally unscriptural heresy, in their perverted minds, the belief is that Mary would be less holy if she ever had physical relations with her husband, Joseph, and produced children besides Jesus. We've got to keep her as the exclusive bride of God in their minds. Let me just tell you that that totally goes against the Old and the New Testament, not only with regard to what it says about Jesus and his brothers, but also what it says about the nature of marriage and relations between a husband and a wife. If you think that for a woman to be married to a man and have relations with her husband somehow makes her less holy, then you have completely misunderstood the scriptures. And the only kind of people who would come up with such a theory are people who themselves have an unscriptural, perverted view of what God said is very good. Now, that said, the Bible clearly teaches not only that Mary had other children, but that Mary sometimes didn't understand what was going on with Jesus. And it didn't start here. The first window on that we're given in Scripture is Luke chapter 2. Take a look in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 48. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 48. Jesus is 12 years old here. You want to get the start of the story, it's back in verse 41. We'll start in verse 41. Every year, his parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom of the festival. After those days were over, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. but his parents did not know it. Assuming he was in the traveling party, they went a day's journey. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple complex, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all those who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked them. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Two things. Number one, they didn't understand. They did not understand. Mary did not understand. Joseph did not understand. Who understood what he said to them? Was Jesus speaking nonsense? No, Jesus understood that he had to be in his father's house. He was doing the will of his father. That's why he came to earth, was to do the will of the Father. That's where he got his authority. That's where he got his power. That's how he did his miracles. That's why he spoke truth as no one else has ever spoken. That's why he spoke it with such authority, is because he only did what the Father told him to do. He only said what the Father told him to say. And when he did what the Father told him, there were times when his mom and dad, earthly parents, didn't understand. It just seemed wrong. "We're going back home. Aren't you going with us?" "Well, not right now. I have to be in my father's house. I have to do what my father says." Mary didn't get that. She was upset with Jesus. "Why have you treated us like this?" Jesus didn't say, "Oh, Mom, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me." There was nothing to forgive. He hadn't done anything wrong. Jesus, unlike us and unlike his mother Mary, was absolutely perfect in everything that he did and in everything that he said. The rest of us make mistakes. Jesus, no. He was sinless. Absolutely, perfectly fulfilling his Father's will. And Jesus knew who his father was. And it wasn't Joseph. Jesus grew up with an adoptive father. His real father was God. Mary was his real mom. And the miracle of the virgin birth is absolutely vital to the truth of the gospel. There are people today who call themselves evangelicals, but who want to say that believing things like the virgin birth, that's really hard for people today. So let's just kind of drop that. Let's don't talk about that. You can still believe it privately if you want, but let's certainly don't talk about that, because that's off-putting to people. People find it hard to believe it. It just seems too fantastic, too much of a miracle. Let me just tell you something. Those people are not going to get saved by a watered-down gospel. They're not going to be set free by untruth mixed with truth. If you want people to know Jesus, they need to know the real Jesus. And if the real Jesus is too much for them, they wouldn't get saved by being introduced to a watered-down version. Please understand that. Because right now, that is a key battle spiritually in our country. And there are tons of people who call themselves Bible-believing Christians who will try and tell you that you don't really have to believe the Bible. And I'm telling you, they may attract tens of thousands of people every week to their church campuses, but they are preaching a false gospel. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. He alone is the mediator between God and man. And he alone is to be worshiped. You and I need to understand that. We need to believe that Jesus is the one mediator between God and man. Jesus' mother sometimes didn't understand what was going on. Jesus still cared about her. As he hung on the cross, he would make provision for her. Not only in what he said to John, but by his death, atoning for her sins. Because Mary, like the rest of us, needed a Savior. And Jesus died to save sinners. Like you, like me, like Mary. But wasn't Mary an exceptionally wonderful person? Yes, she really was. The Bible says so, and she should be honored as such, but not put on a level with her son. And if you want access to God, you go through the mediator that he provided. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, and it is the man Christ Jesus. So, when it says here that Jesus wouldn't go outside, it's not because he was being rude, it's because he was being obedient to his Father. He says, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, that person is my brother and sister and mother." So on a practical level, since you and I are not the Son of God, uniquely sent to earth in order to save mankind, what does this mean for us? It means that we're supposed to be his brothers, his sisters. We're supposed to be family. And the way to do that is by focusing on doing the will of the Father and not allowing other people who love us, perhaps. Mary certainly loved Jesus. Whom we love, perhaps. Certainly, Jesus loved his mother. But we must not allow those human relationships to take us away from doing the will of the Father. So, we've already read this passage, but back in chapter 10 of Matthew, beginning in verse 37, Jesus says, "The person who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The person who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Anyone who seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life because of me will find it." Folks, let me tell you. Jesus says that you need to follow him in doing the will of the Father and not let any other relationship pull you from that. Some of you, it's going to be a boyfriend, a girlfriend, who exerts an enormous pull. And suddenly you realize, if I'm going to be close to this person, I'm going to have to back off a little bit on some of this Christian stuff. If I want this person to keep loving me, I'm going to have to give in and do some things that I know God doesn't like. You will not be loving that person if you do that. Nobody who loves you rightly will try and get you to do something that is disobedient to God. And so if somebody tries to pull you away by telling you that, you know, if you love me, you'll let me do this, you need to realize that person doesn't love me. They may lust after me. They may find me really attractive. They may want to use me to make themselves feel more worthwhile or whatever. But that person is not loving me when they say that. If your parent tries to get you to lie or do other things that you know God says we're not supposed to do, you need to say no. And if it means that you suffer consequences that are painful, you need to still say no. Because obeying God is what counts. And that is how you honor your father and mother. Did Jesus honor Mary by the life that he lived? It's the only reason that we know who she was. If Jesus had not been the sinless Lamb of God who totally obeyed his Father, he could not have offered his life as an atoning sacrifice, and we wouldn't be here today. You want to honor your father and mother? You do the will of God. You live in a way that people will say, wow, you must have had great parents. And you don't have to correct them and say, no, actually not. My parents were... You just say, thank you. Is that clear? Honor your father and mother. But do it like Jesus did. Do the will of the Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you have loved us when we didn't love you. And thank you that you not only give us an opportunity to be forgiven, but to be family. Part of your family. With a whole new set of brothers and sisters around the world. People with all different skin colors and speaking all kinds of different languages. But who are our family? Those who do the Father's will. Lord, we want to resemble our elder brother Jesus. We want to look like him in the way we live. So help us, we pray, to truly trust and obey. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.